Hello everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell and today we are studying day two of our technology article for January 2017. The title of our article is Facing High-Tech Barriers, and we are talking specifically about drones and how a lot of people are now concerned about privacy and how they're looking to keep drones out and how this is creating a new challenge for people. And we have a lot more to share with you and a lot more to discuss. But before we get into our article, I'd like to welcome my friends back into the studio. Hi, Josh. Hi, Linda. How are you guys?
Good. Yeah. Good to be back.
It's really good to be back today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we had an interesting discussion about drones and about the virtual barriers that are being put up to block these drones. Now let's review a little bit about what we talked about yesterday. And we started our article talking about Duncan Sinfield, who is a television news assignment editor. And what happened to him, Joshua?
Well, one day after using his drone in order to sort of record videos for his YouTube channel, right, his drone just flew out of control, and no matter what he did, he couldn't get it back under control and ended up in the drink or in the water and destroyed.
That's right. So he lost control of his drone, and it ended up being destroyed in the bay, in the water. Now, this was used as an introduction to this new problem that a lot of people are having, right? And the idea of drones and where drones can fly, because it's a relatively new technology, so there are a lot of regulations that are in place. And a lot of people are having problems, right? Corporate headquarters, sports venues, private homes. These are places you don't want drones to be flying. And yesterday, we learned an idiom called getting someone's goat. And what is that referring to, Linda?
It's when you annoy someone a lot, like right, seriously annoy someone.
Yeah.
Like you really get to them.
Right. And we were talking about how these flyovers or these drones that are buzzing these corporate headquarters are getting people's goat. And why is that?
Well, for a lot of reasons, but I think mainly for privacy and safety concerns, right? So people really don't want, out of all their efforts to maintain their privacy, have somebody just fly over with this drone and be able to record everything.
Right, and as you mentioned, Joshua, you know, a lot of times people spend thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars to create privacy for themselves and to protect their property, protect their investments, their secrets. And then someone just spends a few thousand dollars and flies over and steals all of that, right? And so there's concern. So what are people doing to protect themselves?
Well, one way is by creating virtual barriers. And we learned the word geofencing yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's just a virtual barrier that protects a tangible geographical area.
Right. And geofencing, in a way, is something that is embedded in the craft's navigation system. So this is something that drone manufacturers are programming into their drones, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and the software, and specifically we're talking about DJI here, and they're the world's largest consumer drone manufacturer. And DJI software constantly updates the places where there are no-fly zones. And these are places where drones should not be and should not go. And so by default, a DJI drone will not fly into or take off in locations that raise safety or security concerns. But we mentioned something yesterday that we said, you know, but if you're if you're smart enough, you might be able to override, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something interesting to look into.
And that could also explain Duncan Sinfield's situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe, you know, control of his drone was overridden.
Right.
That's how, he lost his drone.
Yeah.
But yesterday, Josh mentioned that he would like a lot more experience, or even have a drone. So I just want to know why you like drones. Because,
I like flying, right?
Okay.
And so some of the things that really attracted me to drones were seeing videos that people post up, mm-hmm, of being able to get a bird's eye view of a certain area, mm-hmm. and yeah. it really changes your perspective. So
yeah,
I'd say
definitely.
Just being able to have something that's not too far off the ground, mm-hmm. like maybe 30 meters or so, but flying along the coastline gives you just amazing views of everything.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. not only that, but it kind of gives you the opportunity to explore a little bit too. So if you see like a little valley where you're like, oh, I wonder what's up there. You don't have to hike all the way up. Maybe you can just send your drone up in order to check it out for you.
Yeah.
Really? You don't want to hike all the way there?
Well, you might discover that you really want to hike all the way there. But if you're looking at maybe a couple different opportunities to go hiking, maybe you can send your drone up first and then decide which one's going to
okay.
be the best one.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. Well, see, drones can be useful and they can be fun. But, you know, I think there needs to be some sort of regulations. And as we mentioned earlier, we were talking about the geofencing virtual barrier that are being put up, but is that the only way to protect yourself against drones? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So if you will join us on page 35, we'll be looking at day 2 of this technology article, and we'll start right where it says 24.
Experts say there are other ways to surround property with the geofence, and some drone enthusiasts believe Silicon Valley companies may be quietly working to install hidden barriers. Robbie Sen, founder and chief technology officer of communications and security company Department 13, said that in addition to creating potential safety hazards, drones can be used to steal trade secrets. And his firm is helping companies thwart the crafts from hovering over their properties.
All right, so experts say there are other ways to surround property with a geofence, and some drone enthusiasts believe what about the Silicon Valley companies?
That they are quietly working to install hidden barriers.
Hmm.
Yeah. We don't know what these barriers are,
right.
but they're working to, you know, I guess, to make it more secure.
Yeah, and it makes sense that, you know, they wouldn't probably announce necessarily what measures they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because, again, any countermeasure can have another countermeasure.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Again, this goes back to what we were talking about, this whole cat and mouse game,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know the strategy that someone's preventing you of how someone's trying to prevent you from getting in, then you can figure out another strategy to get around
yeah,
that, and then
exactly.
it just goes back and forth.
And then mm-hmm. they develop another strategy yeah. to get around that, and then this.
Yeah, so this whole cat and mouse game. So they are working to install hidden barriers, and that in addition to creating potential safety hazards, drones can be used to steal trade secrets. And this is what we've been talking about, right? The
right.
idea that it's not just about safety where the drones are flying and they might end up hurting people or flying into things they shouldn't fly into. They're also being used to capture footage that shouldn't be captured.
There's one thing that we don't really specifically talk about in this article, but I think everybody kind of knows that camera technology has also just gone forward in, you know, leaps and bounds, where now very small cameras are very powerful
mm-hmm.
and can record very clear images from very far away.
That's right. And so this is why it says here drones can be used to steal trade secrets. What are we referring to?
Those refer to the secrets or, like, certain methods that a company has that are exclusive to them and that they want to protect.
Right. And so Robbie Sen, who is the founder and chief technology officer of communications and security company Department 13, says that this firm is helping companies to do what?
Well, they're helping them thwart the crafts from hovering over their properties, right? So
right.
this is a slightly different approach. So yesterday we learned about manufacturers of drones, including exclusion areas in their programming, right? So that no matter who uses the drone, they wouldn't be able to go into another area.
Right.
And now we're looking at it from the other end, where people who are not involved in the creation of drones but don't want them flying over their properties
mm-hmm.
to come up with technology that will allow or will stop any drone, regardless of what the manufacturer is, from flying overhead.
So this is kind of addressing the issue we were talking about yesterday with the overriding, right?
Exactly.
You might be able to override your drone's programming, but you probably aren't going to be able to override these companies and what they've set up, these virtual fences. All right. But all of this sounds very secret, as Linda said. We don't really know what they're doing, and we don't really know how they're doing it. So let's continue reading and learn more about this.
Shrouded in secrecy. Faced with growing threats, from invasion of privacy to corporate spying to terrorists using swarms of drones to bring down an airliner, public agencies and private companies are rushing to stay ahead of the drone trend. But much of the anti-drone technology is being developed in secrecy for the government, so it's hard to know exactly what tools companies might be using to stop drones. Some in the industry worry that some claims by anti-drone firms may be misleading or exaggerated. There's a question of what technology is being used to create a virtual wall, said Brendan Schulman, DJI's Vice President of Policy and Legal Affairs. If it's a jamming technology, I'd worry about violating FCC rules. And taking over control of a drone sounds like hijacking to me. The idea that a third party will take over control of someone else's aircraft is potentially a serious violation and safety concern. Yet, Schulman acknowledged that there have been industry demonstrations in which people have managed to hack into an open Wi-Fi connection and commandeer someone else's drone. Since anti-drone technology is relatively new, much of the aerial sparring that may be underway is unfolding in a legal gray area. For the drone users, FAA spokesman Ian Greger said simply that if you're operating a drone for recreational purposes, you don't need authorization from the FAA to fly. But you must fly safely, and you can't endanger people or property on the ground.
So as drones become more and more popular, there are more and more concerns, and there are growing threats. And the threats are anywhere from invasion of privacy to corporate spying to terrorists using swarms of drones to bring down an airliner. All of these things sound pretty serious.
Yeah, huh? Especially that last one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it'd be one thing for, you know, someone to just film someone's home without their permission, or even to just steal trade secrets from a company. But for a terrorist to use a drone to bring down an aircraft, that is pretty...
Yeah, that's pretty serious, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we don't really want to think about is weaponizing drones. So
that's right.
That would be turning drones into a weapon, like in this case, which
yeah.
is a very serious concern.
Right. So public agencies and private companies are rushing to stay ahead of the drone trend. Now, when we're talking about public agencies, we're talking about government agencies, right? These official organizations that are trying to keep us safe and to protect our countries, and private companies, again, with the whole trade secrets and corporate spying. And they're trying to get ahead of the drone trend. So they're trying to figure out what they can do to protect themselves against unwanted drone invasions.
Exactly.
Yeah. So much of the anti-drone technology is being developed in secrecy for the government. And that makes sense, right?
It does make sense. And one of the other things that we don't really want to talk about is that now drones are a worldwide use, right? Mm-hmm. And so there are plenty of areas in the world where they're being used for non-peaceful purposes.
Right.
So just the idea that you could be, say, in a war zone and just having a drone fly around in order to take a look at what the other side is doing mm-hmm. is pretty concerning, right?
Yeah.
So you can imagine that the government then would be developing ways to deal with that in secrecy so that people couldn't counter that as well.
Yeah. And it makes sense why military installations would be no-fly zones, right?
Exactly.
And so the government is developing it in secrecy, so it's hard to know exactly what tools companies might be using to stop drones. Although some people think that maybe there's just too much emphasis going on this, right?
Well, yeah. Some people in the industry worry that some claims by anti-drone firms may be misleading or exaggerated. So maybe some of these companies developing anti-drone technology, maybe they're over-exaggerating what they can actually do.
Right. Or the danger, even, of right. what drones are doing, right? And so they're kind of over-exaggerating in a way to just kind of create this fear in people and therefore up their sales.
Right. Yeah,
you'd like to think that everybody plays nice, right? You'd like to think, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a question of what technology is being used to create a virtual wall. And so there's different things that could be done, but then there's a question of the, just how ethical and if it's even legal, right? And mm-hmm. so Brendan Shulman, DJI's Vice President of Policy and Legal Affairs, talks about two different types of ways that people might be kind of protecting themselves against drones. First one is jamming technology. What is jamming technology?
Well, this first one here is the idea that you jam a signal by sending out a stronger signal so it no longer receives the original one. So like say the controller
right.
that you use for a drone,
yeah.
if you were to then somebody else to send out a really super strong signal mm-hmm. so that your drone can't talk to your controller anymore,
right.
that's the idea behind jamming.
Right, yeah, and I think of another example. Sometimes when we go out for performances, we have these wireless mics, right? And that requires the signal and the receiver to connect. But sometimes a walkie-talkie or some other signal comes in, a radio frequency comes in, and it blocks my mic from connecting to the receiver. And so all of a sudden, you either hear a radio transmission or my mic isn't working anymore.
Exactly.
And so it's that same idea. So mm-hmm. jamming technology, they worry about violating FCC rules. FCC is the Federal Communications Commission. And what is that?
Well, it's a government organization, and they oversee the rules for communications by radio, television, satellite, cable, phone. So they're the ones enforcing the rules that cover yeah. these areas.
Yeah. And that makes sense, right? If you are a television station, you wouldn't want someone coming in and hijacking your signal mm-hmm. and then kind of putting their programming on your station, right? So there are rules and regulations about that. Now, that's one way that potentially they may be protecting against drones. What is another way that he mentions here?
Well, the other way is a little bit more, what we'd like to say nefarious or tricky or
right.
criminal,
mm-hmm.
and that's the idea of hijacking or taking control of somebody's drone. So that, once again, instead of sending out a signal to jam, you send out a signal to control and take the control away from somebody else.
Right, and that's kind of what we are guessing might have happened to Duncan Sinfield, right? The idea that mm-hmm. someone else kind of started taking control of his drone and send it into the bay. We don't know exactly what happened, but we're guessing, right? So the idea that a third party will take over control of someone else's aircraft is potentially a serious violation and a safety concern, right? So hijacking, usually we think of hijacking as, an example is 9/11, right?
Right.
The terrorists, they hijacked those airplanes and flew it into the World Trade Centers in New York. So just kind of taking over control. And obviously that is illegal.
Okay. And dangerous.
Right. Yeah. But a lot of this is kind of going into the gray area, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Now, Shulman does acknowledge that there have been industry demonstrations in which people have been able to do what?
They've managed to hack into an open Wi-Fi connection and commandeer someone else's drone.
That's an interesting word, commandeer. It's not something we use often, but it is a good word to know. What does it mean when you commandeer something?
It's when you take possession of or control someone's private property by force or for military use.
Right. So kind of taking over something and, you know, think of like pirates commandeering a ship.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a synonym to hijacking. So there have been demonstrations where people have been able to do that. You know, so it is something that is possible, and it is something that could happen. And since anti-drone technology is relatively new, this is kind of a new industry that is cropping up after the development of the drones. Much of the aerial sparring that may be underway is unfolding in a legal gray area. So what is this aerial sparring?
Well, sparring is an interesting term because it refers to, like we say here, the vocabulary focus, arguing between two people. But it can also mean like short bouts of fighting, right? Sometimes play fighting, sometimes real fighting. So like if you were to get into a boxing ring and spar with someone, that's fighting for practice.
Right. Yeah. So this kind of fighting, right? And we're talking about aerial, which means just up in the air.
Exactly.
And this goes back and refers back to this cat and mouse chase that we were talking about yesterday. So this idea of this back and forth, you know, the drones flying and the amateur and drone operators, now they're coming against the, they're fighting these obstacles and the barriers. So this sparring may be unfolding in a legal gray area. What is a gray area, Linda?
Well, gray is combining black and white, or like a cross between black and white. So it's an area where it's not clear. There's a lot of uncertainty.
Right, yeah. So in this case, we're talking about legal gray areas. So in terms of the law, is it really against the law? Is it not? Is it okay? You know, like this whole idea of hijacking. Obviously, if you're going to hijack an airplane, that's against the law. But if, is it the same thing if you're hijacking a drone?
Right. So there haven't been laws made yet, or they, you know, it's haven't been keeping up because technology is developing so quickly.
Right. And jamming technology, right? So, okay, makes sense that you wouldn't want to jam a radio signal or a television signal, but jamming a private drone? I don't know. Right?
Right.
So that's what this idea is, just like, is it really wrong? Is it against the law necessarily? The legal jargon, the language isn't very clear.
Right, and maybe not even written yet, right? So that possibly in the future there may be laws against certain aspects of this, but right now there isn't anything definitely illegal about it.
Right, okay.
So that creates this gray area.
Yes.
Exactly.
So we hear from Ian Greger, and he is a spokesman for the FAA. What is the FAA?
It is the Federal Aviation Administration. It's also a government agency that oversees rules for planes and airports, so things that are in the air.
Right. And again, drones are now this new thing that is flying in the air, so they are scrambling now to create new regulations for the drone users. And what does Ian Greger say about flying drones?
Well, he says that if you're using it for recreational purposes.
And what's
right,
that?
So that's the idea of you're just using it for enjoyment.
Right.
Not using it for pay or for maybe for business purposes. Mm-hmm. But if you're just using it for enjoyment, then you don't need authorization from the FAA to fly. Now, that's different from, say, somebody who's using their own little plane that is not using it for transport but just to have fun
right.
to fly around.
Yeah.
If you're flying in a plane, you actually have to very specifically describe exactly where you're going to be during your flight path at any single moment to the FAA.
And you also need to have a pilot's license, right?
And you need to have a pilot's license, right? So that's totally different from recreational use of drones.
Yeah, so recreational use of drones, if you're just doing it for fun, you don't necessarily need to get permission from FAA to fly. You don't need authorization. But you can't just fly wherever you want, right, Linda?
Right. And there are specific rules. You do have to register your drone with the FAA if it is over half a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So half a pound is about 227 grams.
Right. So there are certain rules, and you need to register, and you must fly safely. And this goes without saying, you can't endanger people or property on the ground.
Right. So I love it. It's, you know, using common sense. But the thing is, with so many people getting drones, some people don't use common sense. And,
right.
And so that's where you get into problems.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just doing it for fun, it's like, you know, I want to fly a drone up and just kind of capture some footage of the local park or, you know, like you said, a hike, whatever. You know, I'm just filming my friends. That's one thing. But if you're starting to go into this gray area of, well, I'm just going to film some corporate buildings or kind of see what my neighbor's up to.
Or maybe I can block this traffic light that I hate.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of trouble you can get into.
Right. So, you know, let's just be smart, you know, and I think it's interesting to talk about. I think it makes sense that there are these concerns that are happening and these concerns that are cropping up about the use of drones. But I think if people can use some common sense and be wise, I think a lot of it will be taken care of. And I'm sure that over the next few years or so, there will be new regulations that will be written and new regulations that will be put into practice. So it's good to keep up to date on all that information. All right, friends, we hope you enjoyed our technology article for this month, and it was definitely an interesting topic and gave us a lot of food for thought. We'd love to hear what you thought about this article. You know, how do you feel about drones? Do you think drones are a good thing, or are they a nuisance? What do you think about drones? Let us know. Write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. As always, remember to check out our QR code at the top of page 34 for more features and new insight. And also, you can take us wherever you go. Have your teachers with you by using our m.studioclassroom.com mobile website. All right, friends, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time right here on Advanced Studio Classroom.
Bye. Bye-bye.